Chapter 4. Henry. When I was 8, the old gold cart was still my chariot, and I went about in it like any royal king. It was an ugly old thing that nobody ever treated well. Everybody joked about it. But to me it was something lovable, almost human. I called it Henry. I had seen my first glimpse of outdoor life sitting on its seat. I remember the wind on my face as we raced through busy streets. Old Henry was my throne. On it I tasted adventure and excitement with the others. They took me with them everywhere, even to the local cinema every weekend. I went in on the back of my big brother Jim. I noticed how the other kids stared at me. Jim always told them to get lost. But I didn't think about it because I didn't understand why I shouldn't be on my brother's back. I had always gone on somebody's back, ever since I could remember. I didn't know why. One time, when we were at a movie, Peter and some of our pals tried to get me to smoke. They were experimenting themselves with a packet of cigarettes that Peter had stolen from Father's pocket earlier in the day. But when they stuck a cigarette in my mouth, I immediately began to eat it and had swallowed the whole thing before they'd time to light it. Peter looked at me horrified, expecting me to turn green, but I just grinned and opened my mouth for more. He didn't give me any more. Summer came. It was too hot and sweaty for the cinema, so my brothers gave old Henry a spring clean and took me for long walks out into the suburbs of Dublin. On Sundays, they took me up to Phoenix Park, where we spent the day lying on the grass. Then we used to go down into Donnelly's Hollow and light a fire and make tea in an old can while eating sandwiches and telling stories about things that never happened till it was time to go home. It was all great fun going on these trips. People sometimes stopped and stared at me as my brothers wheeled me along, but I didn't worry about it because I had no idea why they stared. Perhaps I had an idea at the back of my mind that there was something wrong somewhere, something about me that made people look at me in that funny way as they passed. But it was a strange idea, and it frightened me, so I tried not to think about it at all. I just wanted to be happy, and my brothers saw to it that I was happy. I remember a little trip we took out into the country beyond Dublin one day when I was about 8 and a half. We set out at about 10 on a bright, warm Sunday morning in September. Peter took his books out of his school bag and stuffed it full of sandwiches. 2 bottles of milk were pushed beneath the cushion of my go-cart. They bruised my behind every time the go-cart bumped. There were 5 of us, my brothers Peter and Paddy, 2 friends and myself. We had a great day. Paddy became friendly with a cow from a nearby field, a big, fat, brown animal with sleepy eyes and an enormous tail. "I'm going to milk her," he told us, and we all laughed at him. But he whispered into her ear and finally got her to stand still while he sat down on a tree stump, placed the can under her and grinned at us. "Now watch," he said. We watched. But the moment he reached out and put his hand on the cow's udder, she kicked with one of her hind legs and sent him sprawling over onto his back. Then she moved slowly away, her tail swishing. "That one's a lady anyway," said Paddy. We roared with laughter. Towards evening, we set out for home. But by the time we had got halfway, we were very hungry. Our food had run out about 2 hours earlier, and we had nothing left except the empty milk bottles. Twilight was now setting in, and we still had a long way to go. I wasn't so bad, for although I was hungry, I didn't have to walk like the others. I just sat back while they took turns at pushing me along. I'm starving, Peter complained, his shoulders drooping. Shut up, so am I, growled Paddy in return. We were all losing our tempers when suddenly we saw before us a big country house with iron gates in front and a concrete wall all around. The whole front of the house was covered with fruit trees, the branches of which hung over the walls, drooping with all sorts of good stuff. We looked first at the fruit trees, then at one another. I'm hungry, announced Peter for the second time, staring at the apples and pears. So am I, said one of our companions, rubbing his mouth with the back of his hand. Me too, said one of the others, feeling his stomach tenderly. Peter looked around cautiously. No one's near, he said to us. Maybe if you brought the go-kart close to the wall and I stood on it... Paddy pushed my cart over to the wall and climbed onto the side of it so that he had only to reach up his arm to touch the red apples and yellowish-brown pears. All right, that's enough. Don't be greedy, said Paddy when he'd gathered a handful of apples and pears together. He climbed down, divided the fruit between the five of us and sat on the grassy margin of the road to eat it. Who's coming? Asked Bob, one of our two friends, his head on one side as he listened like a dog. We heard the sound of approaching footsteps coming along the road just round the bend. Peter winked at us and crept to the corner, looking round it cautiously. Then he came running back, breathless. It's a copper, he panted. Paddy turned green. He seemed powerless to move. What'll happen to us? He asked helplessly. Run for it, said Bob, leaping to his feet. Can't leave Christy here, can we? Peter broke in as the steps came nearer. Then he had an idea. Quick, he said, turning to the others. Put all the stuff under Christy's cushion. There was no time for questions. In a matter of seconds, they had picked up all the fruit, half dragged me out of the go-kart, dumped the stuff at the bottom of it, beneath the torn old cushion, and then pushed me in on top of it. The policeman walked round the corner and, on seeing us, came towards us slowly. Evening, lads, he said, smiling. He patted me on the head. Out late, little man, eh? It's almost eight. The other four tried to keep calm, but they fidgeted and shifted their weight like hens. Take him home now, boys, said the friendly policeman. Cheerio! With that, he left us, going slowly up the road the way we had come. They waited till he was out of sight. Then they took out the apples and pears. They weren't pretty to look at. Oh, put 'em back, Paddy growled when he saw them. God didn't like us stealing them. So, very sadly, they dumped the sticky mass of fruit back over the wall of the big house, and we started on our way home again. We got there about 10 at night, feeling as empty as air. Did you enjoy yourselves today? Mother asked us as we came in at the front door. Peter looked at Paddy. Paddy looked at Peter, and they both looked at me. Yes, said Peter, and left it at that. Then one day, my go-kart broke down. The axle snapped, the seat collapsed, and nobody could do anything with it. It was put away in the coal house to rust. I was lost without it. My brothers could no longer take me with them when they went out to play. Mother talked of getting me a new cart when Father went back to work, but I hardly heard her. I was confused. It wasn't just that I missed the old go-kart so much. It was the way I felt when I could no longer go out with my brothers. Everything was changed. I was thrown upon myself at last. That queer idea that there was something wrong, which had entered my mind sometimes before now, loomed larger. A few days later, I was sitting in the front garden playing toy soldiers with my brothers, when along came some of our pals carrying fishing nets and jam jars on a string. They suggested we should all go fishing together. It was a good day, and nobody wanted to stay at home. There was a rush for fishing rods and equipment, and everybody was excited. Peter laid a bet that he could catch 20 fish before the day was out. They all crowded at the gate ready to go. Then Tony forgot something and came back for it along with a pal. As he was going down the path again, I looked up at him, appealing, silently. He stopped. This was the first time he'd gone anywhere without me. "Sorry, Chris," he said, not looking at me. "We'll bring you back lots of fish." He moved away quickly. "Pity about him," began his companion. Tony gave him a violent shove that knocked him into the road. They ran on to join the others. I was left alone in the garden. I looked down at my hands, twisting and turning.